Thank you, brother.
Lord.
I'm rejoicing in my soul the songs we have been singing about the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Without Him, I am nothing and I have no hope.
Yes.
But through Him, I have hope of eternal life.
Yes.
The author and finisher of eternal life. That's Jesus Christ. I so rejoice tonight. I didn't really think I would preach at Monarch, but God had different plans. And you pray for me. I have a very heavy burden on my heart. I'm burdened for the work of the Lord, the church of God. I've been coming to Monarch for 50-some years, seen many people in many ways. Many come, many go. Some have passed on, some have went away. And through it all, there is only one hope, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Without Him, we don't have anything. I am concerned for the church. I am concerned for the people. You know, sometimes we get kind of concerned for the young people in a subject like this. But I'm concerned for everybody. My subject tonight is that God is not the author of confusion. There is no part of Christ that is dark. He is the light of the world. He is the life of the world. He is the Word. He is all things. He is the head of the body. We are the body of Christ, but He is the head. And we don't want to ever elevate ourselves above Him, or we're going to be in trouble with the designer, His Father. They sang that song. It was God who sent the little baby. And the purpose thereof. Remember the night, regardless of how old you are, and all of the things that are going on, this is perilous times. People are heady-minded, high-minded, have not a love for God, love for themselves. Said it would be that way in these days. Well, there's been a lot of those kind of people for the 50 years that I've been coming here. People have always had to deal with their flesh. The brother spoke of his flesh in his testimony tonight. I love that confession of faith. I would that every child of God would acknowledge their flesh. He said, confess your faults one to another, that your prayers be not hindered. All flesh is grass. The grass withereth and fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. My salvation, my endurance tonight is the word of the Lord. I put no confidence in my flesh. I've been coming here. I've known all the old timers. I know a lot of people. But my confidence is not in man. It's in the word of God. It is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want to keep Him where He belongs, above all things else. Jesus Christ says in the Hebrew letter, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Of my faith. Without Christ, you can't have any faith. And without faith, you can't please God. It is Christ, the author of my faith. Would you join me tonight in a simple little song? Let's sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Would you help me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. But He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the beginning. You heard that song. If you were like me, you were raised in a Christian home from the time I was a little child. My mother taught me that Jesus loved me. And she taught me about Jesus and that I should love him and I should obey him and that I should serve him. And as she taught me those things in a childlike faith, many times there in the chapel of Pomona or Pacoima, this little child went to the altar to honor what Mama had said. Jesus loves you, wants to forgive you. You know what happened when I went to the altar as a child with that simple childlike faith? The Spirit of the Lord witnessed to my spirit. The Spirit of the Lord witnessed to my heart. The Spirit of the Lord confirmed everything that Mama had told me. And you couldn't tell me any different. Because Jesus Christ himself witnessed to my spirit, witnessed to my heart. Jesus loves me, this I know. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, that's where my faith began. It's been many years now. I have seen many things that were confusing. I have heard people bicker. I have saw people get carnal in their righteous discussions. I have seen it all. Brother Ed's father, Clifford, said one time, he's seen so much and heard so much, he was ready just to throw it all away. And then the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of faith, have faith in God. Jesus Christ, have faith in him. Don't put your faith in men. Don't put your faith in events. Don't look at the things that you're seeing, but the things that are not seen. And the Spirit itself will search the deep things of God and satisfy your soul. Having faith. That faith is in Jesus Christ. That faith that enables us to see beyond confusion. I would be confused. Someone raised their hand on Sunday, and on Monday they didn't treat people like Jesus taught them to treat them. There was a confusing. There's something wrong here. Something's not going right. Something's not happening. And there is confusion. I beg you tonight, young people, middle-aged people, old people, be honest with yourself. Do you have any confusion in your mind? Are you confused about anything? God is not the author of any confusion. But in Jesus is perfect day. In Jesus there is perfect light. I am the light of the world. My brother Chuck used to tell me the reason people get confused is because they don't want to die out to their self. And when the old flesh rises up, you know what it brings? Confusion. I heard the word was preached, it was true. I knew the sacrifice that needed to be made, and then I began to reason. My flesh began to rise. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You must die to the grass. All flesh is grass. There is no glory, regardless of who you are and what your ability is and how much you can attract people or appreciation. It's all grass. And God bloweth upon the grass, and it withers and dies. But his Spirit lives on and abides forever. There is no death. There is no darkness. There is no confusion in Jesus Christ. So if we have some confusion, let us examine our flesh. Let us examine honestly before God. Is our flesh causing us? Well, maybe we're heady-minded enough that we think that it don't bother me. Are you, brother, sister, are you causing someone else to be confused? Is there things that you are saying or doing that is causing a little child of God to be confused? Because of the grass? Because of our flesh? I'm preaching to me as, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but my heart is burdened. My spirit is made heavy in this very meeting. There's people that are not here that used to be here. It's a burden. The love of Christ constraineth me. Have mercy, God. Fifth chapter of Hebrews. Pray for me, please. Beginning at the fifth verse. He said, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. Why wouldn't he? He was born of a virgin. He was pure. He was with God. If there ever was a body of flesh, if there ever was a person that could claim in his conception that he was something special, it would have been Jesus. I can be the high priest. I was born in purity. I come from God. But he glorified not himself to be made the high priest. But he that saith unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that he was able to save him from death, and was heard in that affair. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. A body thou hast prepared me. The body that God prepared for Christ had a special purpose. It had a special reason. And the reason for that body was to kill the flesh. All flesh is grass. Even the flesh in the body of Jesus Christ was classified as grass, as wonderful as it was. Another scripture speaks about the grass and how that it is the glory of men, and men glory in it, and it brings a certain glory. But in the end, God blows upon it, and when he blows upon it, it withers and dies. The Father required of the Son that he bring that body, the glory of it, the only begotten, a pure body, a party that God had created for him, had every fleshly right to be exalted. People worshipped him. He did many great things. And there was a temptation. The enemy took him out and showed him all the glory of the flesh, offered it to him. In the garden, he wept. He prayed. He struggled. Why? Because of the fleshly body that God had provided him. And the purpose and the reason of that body was that God was going to blow on it. And it was going to become nothing. And the only thing that was left was the Word of God in his Son. That Word, that covenant, that promise that he had made the Father. That was what was going to endure. The flesh, it was going to be crucified. The body, God blew upon it. And it died. It withered. The great virgin body, the pure body of Christ, crucified, died, so that the Spirit would last forever. Now, I have been around the Church of God all my life, and I love the Church of God with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my mind. And I love my brother as myself. But I love Christ above that all. Because I have witnessed, I'm a witness here tonight, and I'm going to tell you, if you have doubts tonight, if you've heard things and seen things that made you doubt, I have witnessed them all. I have seen and heard lots of things. But you know what? Jesus Christ appeared unto me personally. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I lost out with the Lord. I went out into deep sin. Jesus is the good shepherd. He doesn't gather the 99 and talk about me. He come looking for me. And he followed after me every day of my life in sin. I know he was there. I should have been dead a lot of times. But no, the good shepherd giveth his life. Brothers and sisters, you must give your life. You must give the grass. Give it up. Or you can't be like the good shepherd. He said they were all a hireling before me. Let's consider David. David was a type of the good shepherd. God gave him the children of Israel. He was a mighty warrior. He was able to conquer the enemy. He was able to deliver the children out of battle after battle. But he was still just a hireling. He still loved what God gave him to enjoy in his flesh. And when it come time to give his flesh for Bathsheba's husband, he denied. He failed. He was just a hireling. He wasn't the good shepherd. He wasn't going to give up his wishes. He wasn't going to give up his fleshly desires. Oh, he'd lay his life on the line in the battlefield. But he already knew God was going to save him there. But when it came time to really deal out his soul, in Isaiah it says, isn't this the fast that I've called for? To deal your soul? To deal your spirit? To deal your life? To give it to those that are undeserving? The good shepherd dies for the sheep. He gives up his flesh. He crucifies his flesh. And the word and the power of God, all power in heaven and earth, has been given unto the Son. And when we minister ourselves as the good shepherd, as Jesus Christ, a pattern for us to follow, all power in heaven and earth is at our disposal. When we have questions and we have, dear Brother Tony talked about the whys. We can't answer all the whys. One of the wisest ministers we ever had amongst us. And we have a great heritage in the message that he preaches was O.B. Wilson. Have a whole library of God blessing him with answers, with guidance. with his ability. But I remember when my mother was lying on her deathbed. And Uncle Austin and Chuck and I, we were all sitting out in the church. And we discussed healing. And I don't remember exactly how I put the question to him, but I remember his answer. You know what he told me? He said, "I got no idea why God heals when he does and when he don't, when he don't. I have no idea." He said, I'm telling you as a living witness, as somebody who has seen, if you have questions, if you have doubts, if you have misunderstandings, don't let those discourage you. Because the Lord of Lords and King of Kings is able to give you the faith to overcome it. He is the victory. Austin said that he had seen rank sinners and their children be healed by the prayer of faith, and yet seen a saint who surely deserved it more not be healed. God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So don't ask him questions that you don't need the answer for. If you have confusion in your mind about healing, you go to the Lord and ask him about it. God has healed my body many times. God is still in the healing business. We heard about it. But if you don't understand it, if you have a question, if you have a desire, if you have confusion, God is not the author of that confusion. Brother Williamson preached a message about divine revelation. God can reveal. But you must put your faith in Jesus. You must put your faith in the author and the finisher of our faith. The 40th chapter of Isaiah, I want to read a few verses. I want you to think about, if you really have any confusion tonight, God don't want you to be confused. He is not the author. If things are bugging you or been said or you've seen, there is victory in Jesus. Total rest and peace. He said, "I am the light, I am the way, I am the truth, and I have been sent by God to crucify the flesh, and all those that will follow after me, if they'll do as my example is, they'll have complete confidence, they'll have complete victory, they'll have complete rest. There won't be any confusion." You see, you can not know the answer and not be confused. You might not know God's way, but you won't be confused. Why? Because the Spirit of our Lord and Savior will witness right here again, as he did when you were a child, when I was a child. I personally went out into sin. While I was in sin, the devil made sure I heard every story about the church, about the professors, and about the hypocrites, and about this and that. He made sure I heard it all. And when I got sick of sin, Jesus followed me, and he brought me to a place. And my problem of returning to Father's house was faith. How can you have faith with all that confusion? I knew what was right. I felt the presence of the Lord many times while I was on the road of sin, and he would visit me.
I would feel conviction. I would feel His presence calling me, beckoning me. He loved me. Yet, in my confusion, I hid. Did you hear me? I hid. I knew the truth. I knew it was me and God. But all the things that I had confused in my mind, I hid behind that. Okay, I don't have to serve God right now. So-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And how can I be a believer? People hide behind your confusion. There is no confusion that will stand when the light of light appears. When Jesus appears, those who claim to be confused and yet know in their heart of hearts what to do, that light will expose us. Said they would cry for rocks and mountains to hide them from His face. As I began to feel the drawing of the Lord, I returned to the place where at least I could go to the saint services, my brother Chuck's church. But I wasn't ready to give up my way. And so I was hiding behind what I thought was legitimate, confusing things. All the things I'd been taught when I was a kid, when I was a child, the things I had heard people say and do. Did you know that they used to argue about whether the sun and the moon were two separate lights and what, or a reflector? And it was confusing. As a child, I didn't know. Well, the Bible says He made two lights. So-and-so said it's a reflector. Doesn't make sense. I'm confused. All of those things have an effect. Saved and unsaved. If you're confused tonight, if you're not on solid ground, if the light of Jesus Christ is not the light that you're walking in, then you need the Lord. You need to seek Him until He rains light upon your pathway. I remember just a personal testimony. We sang the song tonight. I've loved that song, In the Light of God. Because I wandered in darkness for so many years, when I got saved again and the light come on, that song has a special place in my heart and to my spirit. And everybody in here remembers Danny Lane and his legalism. You remember right here in these very aisles, he would sing 15 songs about the church. They would jump 5 feet high and never sing a song about Jesus and the blood. Confusing to me. One time I was in a service and they changed the words of the song, In the Light of God, to In the Church of God. And I was so hurtful to me, I went to him. I said, what are you doing? Oh, it's the same thing. Don't worry about it. No, it's not the same thing. I wandered around 15 years in darkness, and the light of Jesus Christ come back on. When I submitted myself unto Him. Now, don't take that as anti-church. And if you want to sing In the Church of God, that's all right. Because I'm an older Christian now, and I can handle it by the grace of God. By the grace of God. When I came back in touch, I wasn't ready to give up. But I want to prove to you that Jesus is the good shepherd. There was a little old lady that walked around the neighborhood in Gladstone. She didn't have any affiliation with any church. She ate moldy bread and made little boxes out of the goodness of her heart. Come through the depression, so she didn't want to waste nothing. And she started coming to service there. I went to a meeting there, and they had preacher singing, altar call. No, I wasn't ready. The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put it in Sister Paul's heart. Go talk to my wayward sheep. Go tell him it's time. She came and she grabbed a hold of my arm, and she was a puny old lady about 80 years old, and I was a young man. Of course, I wasn't going to be discourteous. She said, go to the altar. I said, no, I'm not ready. Yes, you are. And she started literally pulling me. The angel of the Lord. Sister Paul was an angel sent by Jesus Christ. He put it in her heart. He gave her the Spirit. You know how many steps it is from the back bench to the altar? Well, the first few is kind of long. After that, it's pretty short. But I remember dear Brother Jimmy Lynch, some others come up to pray with me. And that's why I tell this story. My faith was dead. The confusion in my mind of people and their behavior and the things that had happened and I heard. Yes, I believe there's a God and I want to be saved. But, so as we knelt at the altar, you know what my request was? I said, pray for me that God will restore my faith. Will he restore my faith? And just as when I was a little child and did what Mama told me to do and God solidified his word, Jesus loves me, at that altar of prayer, the burden rolled away. The faith in God came back. I had faith again, anew, and alive, and well. And the light of the gospel shone in my heart. I'm concerned about my brother. I don't want to see anybody be lost. But I'm going to tell you my faith is in Jesus Christ and the Son of God. He witnessed to my soul. This is your faith, the author and the finisher of it. He's taken me all these years and visited me when people oppressed me. Even my brothers sometimes, we didn't see things alike. And there was trials. There was tribulation. There was confusion. But in it all, I testify tonight beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, renews my faith every day. I love you, brother, and please don't go astray and please don't do wrong. But if everyone else goes away, my faith is in Jesus Christ. I stand upon the solid rock. It has not moved. So don't be confused. If you have confusion about some things that have been going on lately, just turn it over to the Lord. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know all the answers. It's not yours to know. God's ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He said he would shine the light on our path. He said he would give you a perfect day. So if it's something that's causing cloudiness or it's causing a confusion, if it's hindering your peace, it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus Christ can clear up all your confusion. Confusion, God is not the author of it. It comes from the old devil. And it's it's allowed because of your flesh. The flesh has its doubts. Flesh has its fears. The flesh has its want to knows. I want it all figured out. I want to know what's going on. But we can have this confidence. We have been through some rough waters. We would all be discouraged if it were not for the faith of our Lord and Savior. I know everyone in here loves the banner. Solomon said his banner is love. If you take love out, you got nothing left. But I'm going to tell you, there are things you'll never understand. I've seen the greatest saints perplexed in my 66 years. I've seen them struggle. And while we're speaking of the flesh and the dross that it causes in the testimony of their life, because all confusion that is caused by the flesh would be classified as dross. We've classified as chaff. Sister Opal Wilson, I have it on tape, she preached a message one day about the chaff. And she said, if you're here this morning, your life will never be the same. If there's chaff in your life, God wants to get rid of it. And she preached a message that you weren't the same after it was all said and done. And either you moved to let God blow upon your grass, or you tried to run and hide. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know what stands forever at Mark? You know what stands forever with the heritage we have received? The word of God. There have been personalities that God has had to work on the whole time they were here, 10 years, 20 years. I appreciated that confession so much about the flesh. I've known people, and I'm not the judge, but I know what tarnished, I know what dross is, and I know how dross causes confusion in those that are observing it. They won't come up to your face and tell you, hey man, you got a lot of dross. They won't do that. They'll probably pat you on the back and say you're doing all right. That's our human natures. But you know what? God won't. He said he's going to blow on it. And if you feel God blowing on any dross in your life, I don't care how long you've been saved, praise God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same Jesus that witnessed to you when you got saved. He's the same Jesus tonight that is calling for every one of us to follow in his footsteps, to die that we abide not alone. Brother Michael Smith preached that message about the beauty of salvation and the gospel. All through it, I couldn't help but think, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. Now you can do a lot of things on your own, and you can make your grass shine. But if it's not the Son of God, if it's not the Word of God, it's going to wither. It's going to dry up. Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. God is going to have a people. God is going to bless his people. And there isn't any reason why we are not the people of God. If we keep ourselves in that place where Jesus is surely our author and our finisher of our faith. You remember a man named Saul. He was on his way to Damascus. And in his grass, that was his flesh, he had the greatest boast of any man around. His grass was so admired that all of the powers to be gave him a letter of authority to do whatever you want to do. That's how great your grass has prospered. The flower you are, Paul, here is a letter. Those people that are naming the name of Jesus by faith instead of by all the things that we know, Paul. You've been taught from a child. You know everything. You have all the background. You have all the history. You have all the authority behind you. God has blessed his people for years and years, and you know what it's about. You go, Paul. We're behind you. You go out there and cut down those people of faith. You pick them. You put them in jail. You beat them. You knock them down. They can't be getting this stuff without paying the price that we know is paid by our fathers. Well, you know the story well. But I'm just going to remind you of what Paul said in Acts, the 26th chapter. As he recounted this story, beginning at the 9th verse. And I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of the Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priest when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I pushed them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad, I was exceedingly mad against them. Why? Because of what they were saying and doing. And I persecuted them, even unto a strange city. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, in the middle of the day, O king, I saw a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And I said, and he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, in this passage of Scripture is the fulfillment of the prophecy where God said he would blow and the grass would wither. Paul's grass was of high caliber. It was of high importance. It had much esteem with the people. But when God blew on it, it became withered. It dried up. It was worthless. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you kick against me? Why do you kick against the prick? Why do you kick when I've touched your soul and your spirit time and time again? You remember when Stephen was stoned, his face shone like an angel? The presence of God was there, and as you looked upon him, there was a prick in your soul? There was a prick in your heart? Why do you kick against that? I am confident that God, that Jesus, pricked his heart spoke to him. But no, he was confused with his grassly knowledge, with the importance in his mind, and it took the light. It took the light of Jesus Christ, who knocked him to the ground. And then he began to see, and Jesus began to talk to him. Told him what he was going to do and how he was going to bless him. And Saul become Paul and did a complete turnaround and began to live and begin to exist and begin to have eternal life. There's another scripture that tells us Jesus Christ, the author of eternal life. Without him, there is no eternal life. He is. He wrote it. He's what it is. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. It is no faith. There is no confidence in the flesh or anything about it. The grass withereth. The grass dies. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. I have witnessed the fullness of the Word of God. Among my brethren, among people I love, many people maybe that I didn't even agree with or understand where they were coming from, and many times there were probably differences. Brother Austis Wilson told one of my favorite Christians one time, he said, "Brother Trimble, in some of these things we don't see eye to eye. We don't understand it like each other. But when it comes to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are inseparable." Now, I'm giving you this as a witness of my 65 years in a called out body, the Church of God, the Evening Light Saints. And there's nobody else like her. I have enjoyed her all my life. I'm not going anywhere. I believe that regardless of how much chaff, regardless of how much grass is here, God is here. And God loves every one of us. And God's business is to blow on our grass and make us like His Son. Make our spirit to shine. Make our testimony to shine like the testimony of Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. I put no confidence in what I know or who I am, but the revelation of the Spirit, the witnesses to my spirit. Oh, sometimes I just want to sit down and think about some of the saints and weep with joy. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or say a lot of names, but I love you all. I have a love of God in my heart, and it's for His people and for His children. And I confess that in my 60-some years of being in this church, on these grounds when I was a child, beheld a lot of people that have come and gone, lived and died. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is in Christ we have the victory. If you're struggling tonight, if you have some doubts, if you have some confusion, just come and ask the Lord to clear up that confusion, to give you the light, to shine it upon your path. Forget all the things that you think you know or things you think might be. There is nothing that He cannot do. There is nothing that He cannot solve. There isn't a problem amongst anybody, anywhere, anytime that Jesus Christ cannot fix. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is the head of the body of Christ. He places us in his body as it pleaseth him. And all of our movement comes through his mind. Puts you on, therefore, the mind of Christ. As Christ would have us to do and as Christ would have us to say, put on the mind of Christ. And all the glory of God. He said, I'll not share my glory with any flesh, with any grass, but I will glorify my Son. When Jesus prayed his last prayer, and he said, Father, glorify me. He said, I have glorified you, and I will glorify you again. There is glory. I have known and witnessed within my soul the glory of the Lord because of faith in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And he shares it with whosoever will. It is so precious. It is so beautiful. I appreciate your time. Don't take me wrong. I'm not anti or against anybody. I am for everybody. Everybody enjoying what Jesus died for. What he shed his blood for. The body that he brought to the cross. That God gave him. I have one more little thought to add to that, and that's your body. Your body. Your temple. Well, where'd you get it? Why do you think like you think? Some other people don't think like you do. Some other people have a total different thought process. I have one of my children in my family, and he comes off the wall with stuff that I just can't figure. God was there. Now you mark this. You, when you were born, God was there. The DNA that is contained in your personal temple that God gave you. You're not like your brother. You're not like your sister. Who knows who you're like in your gene pool? But if God counts the number of hairs on our head, David said he knew me before I was born, then God knows your body. And he wants you to glorify him in your body. If you're snappy, if you're short with patience, if you're this or that from one of your other characters, did you know that Jesus wants to blow upon your grass and make you an example of the glory of God? I took that temple and cleansed it and purified it and filled it with the Holy Spirit, and it's bringing honor and glory to the Father. Father, glorify your name. And everybody that is in here can bring glory to God. Doesn't make any difference how you what or were. Or what your parents what or were. Or what your personality is. We all have our own personality. But the beauty of it is that God has a purpose. God has a reason that we're different. He has a reason. And that reason is that he himself and he alone can be glorified. You imagine the glory of God on that day. I've witnessed people who took them a lifetime to shed themselves of some of the things they were born with. And it took down maybe in their late years before they really got a hold of the sweetness of Jesus Christ. The humbleness of mind, not being heady and high-minded, but yielding. Broken, contrite. And the beauty of it, it shines. Oh, it shines tonight. But in my mind and in my heart, as I visualize some of those temples that God had to work with through a lifetime, yet, when the grass withered, the word of the Lord come true, the power of God saved them, kept them saved, and they're in paradise tonight by the glory of God. Don't take any of the glory from God. Submit ourselves. If you have any confusing thoughts, if you're confused in any way about what God wants out of you, that you might be able to glorify God in your body, at school, at home, at church, wherever it might be, to God be the glory. And if you have questions about that, I would encourage you. I would compel you. Come to the light. Come to the light of God. Come to Jesus Christ. I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So saith the word of the Lord.